1 Corinthians 1:30. And 2 weeks ago, let's see, 2 weeks ago, I told you to read, 3 weeks ago, read this scripture and then tell me what God showed you. Now, I'm going to, if there's anybody who's done that, I want you to come and sit in the front seat here in a little bit. If you studied this and God showed you a revelation, I just wanted you to come and sit here or sit here on the front. I want to hear what God's been speaking to your heart, okay? But this is a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Father, I want to thank you for your word, and I want to thank you for how you are made unto us. The title of my message is, God is made unto us, or living the life of another. And the scripture that I go along with that is Galatians 2:20. It blends right in together here. Okay? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live in the body, but Christ, not I. Everybody say, not I. Not I. Not I, but what? Christ, let's say it together, liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. Now, I'm stuck on that word. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1:30. He was made unto me. Oh, really? He was made unto us, all these. Okay? So I asked you 3 weeks ago to study that for yourself and see what the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. So, Ben, you're up here. God bless you.
I'll be as brief as I can be. This scripture by itself it's an amazing scripture, but I realize that by itself it doesn't necessarily reveal the true nature of what God is. But what I want to point out is, as I was reading it over and over again, and actually I was trying to challenge myself and start there every day when I was reading the Word, before I did a devotion, before I did anything else, I start reading this passage. And I don't like to just read a verse. I like to read the whole chapter. You know, and there are times where it's small enough, I like to read the whole book because you got to get a point. But what I saw, in connection to what you were just saying, even in Galatians, is I got stuck on that word made unto us. And I realized that the rest of it, I was reading through different interpretations, I was reading through commentaries, and I was really just impressed by the Holy Spirit about the recognition of what it really means when you understand what Jesus was made unto for us. You see, God didn't need to do anything to even prove himself. There was nothing that Jesus needed to do in his existence. It was solely connected to providing us what we did not have. And there are so many people, I said it earlier, there are so many people that try to use earthly wisdom to try to figure out how to do it God's way. And they don't understand that is dead on arrival. You cannot even get there without the wisdom and the righteousness and the sanctification that Jesus Christ provides. So I got stuck on that. God is made unto us wisdom. And I just really was just thinking about that whole process. There was nothing about the crucifixion that was building up in the physical. Okay? The crucifixion, the sacrifice Jesus made, was a physical destruction. But you see, God is a God of balance. The entire time the crucifixion was happening, on the spiritual dynamic, even God himself was having to turn his head away from his own son. The only time in history where God was not in unity with himself. And it just hit me how we talk about being made a new creation. Jesus Christ himself was made into something that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. He was completely new. It was something so different that people had no idea what they were looking at. And it changed everything. the wisdom that we know by our own faculties can never reach, He made unto us through Jesus. The righteousness that we sat there and tried to get to in the temple every time when they would tie the rope onto the ankle of the priest just in case he wasn't righteous before the Lord. We don't have to worry about that because Jesus Christ was made unto us righteousness. And I just wanted to point out that being made unto us, that's the difference between Christianity and religion. Because I can believe that there's a God who did all these things, but I have to receive the God who did them to be put into place with Him. It's relationship. And that's what was heavy on my heart with that scripture, Pastor Mel. Thank you.
When I first seen the scripture, because I wasn't here last week and I thought I missed something, but that was there 2 weeks ago. So it's like, I did see that. What the Lord had spoke to me when it was first brought up, and the more I meditated on it, was He keeps reminding me He's the God of Alpha and Omega, and He knows the end from the beginning. And so when I look at this, He was made redemption for me. He redeemed me. And He was made as being sanctification, because I needed to be separate. I needed to come out from the world and be into Him. He made me, He was made for me because He put me in right standing with the Father through His righteousness. And He gives me wisdom to walk through this world, to be able to know and to hear Him and to see Him as who He is. So when we look at these, God is sovereign, God is love, but when God was made unto us, He actually is the attributes and the characteristics and the things that we needed to be able to be brought back to Him, because we knew Him before we were placed in our mother's womb. So that means we knew Him before. And it's like, so He had to redeem us back because we have came into a fallen world. And the only way that we could go back to Him is through His Son. And the only way we can do these things is because He had to become love. He had to become our redemption. He had to become our sanctification. He had to become my righteousness. Because that's the only way it can be palatable that I can understand this. He needs to be everything to me for me to even to find Him.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Pop. Yes. Okay.
God has made unto us wisdom. God has made unto us righteousness. God has made unto us sanctification. God has made unto us redemption. I am thankful to God for revealing this to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. He's made unto us. Well, let's go and discover what these words mean. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, and let me read here the preceding, what Paul is endeavoring to do. Verses chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians and verse 2. He starts off by saying, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. I love Paul's faith. He was speaking to a very carnal church here. The Corinthian church was one of the most carnal churches. But he was speaking the word of the Lord over them. It is amazing. Called to be saints, with all that in everywhere place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you. He's speaking over this church, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. Wow, really? Yeah, on your behalf. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything... Everybody say everything. Everything, you are enriched. Not might be. You are enriched. Okay? In all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you so that you come behind in no gift. Now, come on. Look at this. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. He's going to keep you. Thank God for his keeping power. How many can say amen? In the midst of everything. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will confirm you unto the end, that you may be, read it, blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. You got to start seeing yourself. We need to start seeing yourself blameless. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. What is the same mind? It's the mind of Christ. It's the word of the Lord. Do you know what I believe? Because of everything that's going on in the world, God is giving opportunity right now for the church to become one. He said there in Psalms 133, I'm going to command a blessing. Where what? Where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. One. That is the key right now. I want you to understand how Satan is doing his best to divide. Satan is doing his best to get you at odds against your husband and wife and your children. It's not just you going through this right now. It's the whole world. Satan does not want anything to do with unity of the body of Christ. And it must start in the home. The Lord is showing me this. Someone gave a sign over Christmas time to my wife. And she has it sitting right on the table. What's the sign say? I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed. Or blessed. Yeah. Every time I go into the kitchen, I'm blessed. I love it. So I want you to know that we need to understand that you cannot deal flesh with flesh. You try to correct someone in the flesh, and all flesh does is burn more. It gets worse. The only way you can deal with the flesh is with the Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Is he alive and well in you? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And God is showing me some deep revelation that I never had before. And this all comes about because I'm spending more time with him. And I love it. But what God has been showing me is that what happens is, we're talking about God's wisdom and sanctification and all that. We're going to go there in Jesus' name. See, you may be speaking to me, and there's something that just irked me. And then if I allow that irking or that spirit that, you know, rising up and trying to come against you and tell you you're wrong, and it goes back and forth. And so what God has shown to me, my dear brother, is that anytime we feel that anger and frustration and fear and worry raising up within us, that's the devil trying to get you to be divided against that person. Because we need to show the love of Jesus. And all of us are dealing with this. Can we say amen? Every last one of us. And then I began to think this. You know, there is still a lot of flesh in most of us. Remember, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, but they were still in Egypt ways. And it took them 40 years to get them out of Egypt ways. But you know something? All the ones that came out of Egypt didn't go into the promised land because they were still working and doing Egypt ways. Lord, deliver us from Egypt ways. Lord, deliver us from the flesh and the world and the devil. It's my brother. It's not my brother, nor my sister, nor my husband, nor my wife, nor my kids, nor the dog. It's me, O Lord, that need a change. How many can say amen? So let me help you here for a moment. As Paul is going to this level, 1 Corinthians 1:25. Although the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:25. Although the cross seemed to be foolishness of God, it reveals his transcendent wisdom. And though God and the Son was crucified in weakness, he was raised through the divine power that transforms lives today. And God has no weakness or foolishness whatsoever. Yet he looks, thank God, like weakness as actually his strength. And that looks like foolishness is actually his wisdom. Because he doesn't use all the great people. He used the nobodies. It's hope for you. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. So we go to our key verse here. He is made unto us. What does this literally mean? The Amplified put it, but it is from him, is what it means, that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, who came to us. Now, the Passion Bible puts it this way. I love this. It is not from man that we draw our life, but from God, as we being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. We have a God life in us. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus made me who I am. That's why I sing and sing again. For the life in me will never end. Amen. Say, thank God for eternal life. Thank God for eternal life. Amen. So let's look at these words. Wisdom. Wisdom from God is revealing his plan of salvation. And we just read 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto him which are called both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, there is a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Let me just go there for a little bit and help you to understand. That is very, very important. In Ecclesiastes 1:17, we find that the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, put it this way. And I applied my heart to know wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1:17. I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. Man's wisdom he's talking about here. Now, he and we need to desire to be wise. Men of wisdom and women of wisdom. We like to understand how things work and able to answer questions when you have someone talking to you. In making decisions, you need wisdom, okay? And share what we know. And so, but Solomon goes on to tell us, he discovered that wisdom under the sun, apart from God, left him unfulfilled and disconnected. Okay? That's why he has so much suicidal and so much things going on in the world today, because there's not a fulfillment in just man's wisdom. It's very interesting. In 1 Kings 3, we discover that Solomon asked God for wisdom. He said, whatever you want. And Solomon said, give me wisdom to direct this people. And God granted him wisdom and gave him wise leadership. And because God was pleased with his request. Now, he granted it and gave it much more. And Solomon began his royal reign as the wisest man on earth. Right. And he had great wealth and honor. And at some point in his life, Solomon really grew to love God's blessings more than God himself. Hear me. Hear me. He looked at God's blessings more than God himself. His life began to revolve around his wealth, his pleasures, his adorations. He elevated his earthly wisdom above God's wisdom. Solomon did. Solomon forgot that it is the wisdom of God that answers our every need and gives us true perspective on life's deepest questions. And we realize that he turned his heart away from God. But as long as he searched God, he longed for God. That is the key. Ah, God, I want you. I need you. Said if he searched for him, what? We're going to find him. Amen? May that be your daily pursuit. Then James 3:17 tells us, but the wisdom that comes from heaven. He talks, first of all, about the wisdom. Go back to 16. Verse 16. Look at that. For let's read it together. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But, let's read together. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And so here it clearly defines the two wisdoms. There is a difference in Jesus' name. And James 1:5 puts it this way. Look at that scripture. I love God's word. See, are you really praying this way? Let's read it together. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's thank the Lord right now for that wisdom. Let's thank him. Say thank you, Jesus, for that wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To gain wisdom, we must pray for it. And while studying and living out of God's word, and God's wisdom gives us focus and direction and what we should do or not to do. And so I'm thankful for that. Now, let me go back here to these words, righteousness. Righteousness makes us acceptable to God. He has made unto me right. Right standings with God. Oh, it's so good to know that today I can become right standings with God and before the throne room of heaven there with him. And God can accept me. Why? Because he sees the blood of his son on my heart. Isn't that good? You know, I think every day we need to apply the blood. Amen. And that's what righteousness means. And we look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, and we see, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I tell you what, I am learning after 70 years of living on this earth that I cannot do it on my own anymore. I have to live in him. And so that's what it means. We are accepted. Most Christians, hear me, sorry to say, are living an orphan life. They don't feel accepted. That's an orphan spirit. You have to fend for yourself. You go around in despair and despondency. You want to control everybody else. That's an orphan spirit. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit work in people's lives. You know, one thing that I am learning with working with people, this is everybody. I used to really love to tell people how to live God's word, and I will always do. But one of the greatest freedoms I have now is when there's a problem, you help people discover their answer and not give them all the answers. You ask questions, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work. Oh, I'm having a time of my life when I just want to set one straight. I want to tell them. The Holy Spirit says, are you in control or am I? And you know what I discovered? I say, Lord, you can work. And you just work. And if you want me to say something, I will. If not, zip it up. Everybody says, zip it up. Zip it up. In Jesus' name. Okay, we want to get this finished here, these words. I love this. Amen. I love the word of God. Okay, for he's made unto then 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions of your fathers. But look at that, verse 19. Everybody say, but you weren't redeemed with natural things. No. No. But let's read it together. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is my all to him. I now resign. I have been redeemed. Past tense. You've been redeemed. You have a shop in the house. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. You've been bought back. Hallelujah. He paid the price. He can't do anything else. All you got to do is believe it. Stand upon it. Hallelujah. Faith it in Jesus' name. So sanctification. Sanctification's making us holy and setting us apart for God. You know, it's amazing. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, making us holy. He makes us holy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're holy. You're holy. In Christ, you're holy. You're holy. And setting us apart for God. Okay, if I'm holy, if I'm sanctified, then I'm set apart for him. I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. I can't do my own thing anymore. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, I pray you will get that square in everyone's heart. Oh, there's so much striving going on. So much, you know, trying. No, you don't have to try anymore. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. He died for you. Hallelujah. Amen. He shed his blood. Hallelujah. He redeemed you. Amen. Stand firm. Just stand. After you haven't done all, stand. Oh, I tell you what. This is the word of the Lord. Okay. John 17:19. He says, and for their sake. Now, Jesus said this. Can I get this? I'm just amazed as I study the life of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. The man that was here in the flesh. He was total God. He was total man. The man that came in our stead to show us how to live a righteous and holy life here upon this earth. He was here in his humanity. He was total man. The Bible says he was tempted at all points as we. And yet he didn't sin. Why did he do that? Show to you. You don't have to sin. You don't have to fall short of the glory of God. His dad always says that. Why? Because he demonstrates. That's why we need to get to know Jesus. And love him with everything that's within us. And for their sake, Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Why? That they also might be sanctified through the truth. I'm telling you, I'm seeing something I have never seen before in my 50 years in the ministry. But it's revolutionizing me. Yes, come on up here.
The scripture tells us, and I pulled it up on my phone, in Acts 17, he wants us to have, to be in him and to move and have our being. But we can't have our being unless this takes place in us. because the scripture says we're his offspring. So if I'm going to have part of my Heavenly Father DNA, he did all of this so that we can become. Because in Acts it tells us that we're to move and have our being in him, because we're his offspring. So everything that you're just sharing, God, it's like a platform. I'm seeing it. How God has laid this out. It all had to take place so that we can move, have our being in him, so that when I go somewhere or if I'm in the store or wherever, they're seeing him. We become. That makes sense?
Makes a whole lot of sense. We're his offspring. Amen. Acts, yes. Redemption. Let me follow this. What does redemption mean? Providing our ransom from the penalty of sin. Okay, he provided a ransom. He paid for our sins. Setting free as a ransomed slave, now living a sanctified, holy life in Christ. Now living. I speak it over every one of you. How many love Jesus with all their hearts? Okay? Love you? Do you love Jesus? Every last one of you, I speak that over you in Jesus' name. Setting you free right now from every kind of sin and devastation, every kind of carnality, and every kind of man's ways, I set you free in Jesus' name. I speak it to you. Because this is what redemption means, providing a ransom for the penalty of sin. We were in our sins, and we don't want to keep on crucifying the Lord afresh. That's another revelation that God gave to me. When every time you sin, you are crucifying the Lord afresh. Well, Pastor, what? What do you mean by that? He died to completely set you free from Satan's power, from sin. He died to set you free. He's done it. And when we as believers keep on sinning, we put another nail in Jesus' hands. You say, Pastor, come on. Well, I think we need to understand what we do. You say, what? Because none of us perfect. I agree. None of us are. Hey, can we say amen? We all need help. And so we need one another to help each other. And so Paul says in Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. We have the infirmities of our flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness. Okay, he's talking to the church here in Corinthians, in Romans here. You have yielded your servants to uncleanliness and iniquity unto iniquity. You have done this. Even so now, everybody say now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness and unto holiness. Okay. Say something bad. Well, just tell them off. Get mad. That spirit is there. And then I say, no. No. Oh, I like this. This just came to me. As I was in Bible college, they shared this story. It really helped me a lot. Because we have to constantly deal with the old man. And Paul said this. We have to reckon it to be dead. So every time it tries to rise, I said, reckon it to be dead. You're dead. You're dead. And so the teacher taught us. He said there was an Indian that got gloriously saved, and he had to deal with the flesh, and he would find himself going back under the old things and that. And but then he came to a place of some real freedom, and he said, "How did you come to that place of real freedom in Christ?" He said, "Well, I have this picture. I have a black dog inside of me, and I have a white dog inside of me." You get this picture now. And whatever dog, if I say to the black dog, sick the white dog, he'll overcome the white dog. And if I tell the white dog, sick the black dog, he'll overcome the black dog. I like that picture. God has given you a free will. You cannot say the devil made me do it. You cannot say she did or he did. No, it's you. It's one of you. I tell you what, it's freeing me up. Knowing this and understanding the better way. How many can say amen? This good teaching today. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Now, to close, as I've been studying here, go to Proverbs 10. I want you to get in your Bibles, Proverbs 10. And I want to read to you something. Matter of fact, do any, Jill, any of your children want to come up and read? They'd like to read? Why don't you come up and read? Any of you, come on up. If you want to. If not, that's fine. No problem. I don't put no pressure on you. I just want someone to read. Okay, that's fine. That is fine, Jill. Let's see here. Who could we? Gordon, you come up here. You've been hearing my voice. I wanted to hear your voice here. Look at Proverbs 10. I want to read. Here, I have it written down here for you, my dear brother. I have it written down here for you. Now, just listen to the word of the Lord. Follow along. It talks about the blessing that is upon the righteous. The whole chapter. 31 verses. Okay, I tell you what. I want someone else. Who wants to come up and read? Okay, someone else. Yeah, come on up, Angie. I want you to read. You read 15 verses, and then she'll read the rest. Okay? Now listen. Listen to the wisest man who ever lived and see what you get out of it.
The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father. Righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Blessings are upon the head of the just. The memory of the just is blessed. The wise in heart will receive commandments. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Wise men lay up knowledge, and the rich man's wealth is his strong city.
The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. He is the way of the life that keepeth instruction. He is that reframeth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The lips of the righteous feed many. The blessing of the Lord it makes rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. A man of understanding hath wisdom. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. The righteousness is an everlasting foundation. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the worker of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks
forwardness.
Thank you. Selah. Selah. Everybody say Selah. It means signed, sealed, and delivered. It's okay. Amen. We agree. Holy Spirit, as you only can do, will you make it real to all our hearts? Seal it on my heart, each one of our hearts, in Jesus' name. Just thank him right now for the word of the Lord. Just thank him in your own way. Thank him for the truth that you received here today. Hallelujah, Lord God.